So let us prove in detail the formula for the two norm of matrices this formula. So we have to show that this is the value of the maximum the maximum over this set of values when x belongs to S sub 2. How usually can be done the proof of the fact that a particular value, say this, let us denote for simplicity, for brevity, n, that a value of n is a maximum of something. In this case, I write it again. The proof can be made in two steps. First, I prove that n is larger or equal than each of these values for x with norm 1. Second, there are some x tilde vector exists such that the equality holds and is equal exactly to the norm of A by this particular one of these particular vectors x tilde. I will omit the symbol of the norm 2 for brevity, and I will prove these two points by considering the squares of all these quantities. There is no difference because they are all positive quantities. For the first, the square of the two norms of the vectors, you have to remind that in general, the two norm of a vector can also be seen and written as the square root of the complex scalar product z to the h by z means, for the students that have not attended previous lessons, the conjugate transpose of z by scalar product row by column the vector z itself. So you obtain the sum of the squares of the moduli, that is the square of the two norms. So we can always, if we prefer, write the two norms in this way. So we can write the square of the two norms as the conjugate transpose of A by X, that is this row vector, by the column vector A by X. This is just a formal matter. But we see immediately that now the matrix A to the H by A, which appears in the formula that we want to show, and we realize that this matrix has important and useful properties which has been studied in previous lessons of this course. I mean, this matrix is Hermitian, and positive semi-definite. This fact imply that the eigenvalues of this matrix in X, therefore its eigenvalues, call them lambda sub I, are real and non-negative. Not all this, but also, moreover, I run out all because I have no space. Moreover, the matrix under investigation, A by A to H by B, being Hermitian, is Hermitian, so it is diagonalizable by unitary similarity. See? We prove this fact so we can write that this matrix can be written, can be transformed to a diagonal matrix made up with its eigenvalues multiplied by U unitary, a unitary matrix here on the left, and its conjugate transpose on the right. Let us come back to this expression. For this reason, we can go on writing, replacing this by U, D, U to the H, X. Again, we have, as before, on the left, a column vector, and on the right, a row vector. Let us call the vector on the right a column vector by Y. So, on the left, we have Y to the H. And O can be seen as Y to the H by D by Y.
Well, we have a formula similar to the formula we have considered at the starting point, but in this case, D is diagonal. This is the advantage. When you have a formula of this kind, this is a quadratic form. This is a particular case of a quadratic form in the metric D. If the metric D is diagonal, its quadratic form is very simple to expand, because we have a few much less terms which sum together. I mean, you can see this easily this way. This is D, Y to the H, and Y. If you multiply, we have lambda sub I, sum over I, Y sub I conjugated by the corresponding entry in this vector. This is only the corresponding entry on this side, which is multiplied by this, because all the other entries of the matrix in the middle are zero. This is due to the simplicity of this formula. It is due to the fact that D is diagonal. So we have only these n terms. We observe that here we have, these are complex numbers, so we have the modulus, the square of the modulus. What we want, just remember this, to show that this is less or equal than the square of n. So we have to find some inequality. This is the sum. The inequality could be this. We put as a factor the maximum of the eigenvalues without modulus y, because the eigenvalues are real. So we bound all these factors with their maximum. We put the maximum outside the sum, and the sum is simply this. But this sum, you recognize what? This is the square of the norm, of the two norm, of the vector y, the sum of the squares of the model. So it is the square of the two norm. But why has been defined as U U to the H by X, and here a simple, well-known property of the regarding the two norm and the unitary matrices works fine. This property says that the two known of x and y, the two norms are the same.
If it is not clear, just we have as usual the square of the norm of y is the scalar product, but u is unitary.
What does it mean, unitary?
It means that this product is the identity matrix. So, only x to the h by h is left, that is the square of two norm of x. This happens always when we transform, multiply, it is a thing, an arbitrary vector x by a unitary transformation, or the product by a unitary matrix. The new vector has the same two norm of the starting vector. In our case, we have that the norm of x was 1. So the norm of the new vector is also 1. So we have finished, because we were here, this norm is 1. And we have just found that the square of the norm of a by x is less than the maximum over the eigenvalues of a to the h by a. This is exactly what has been called n to the square. So we have proved the first point. Is it clear? We have just shown that the part was the second point, a case of equality. That is, how can a vector x tilde found such that the equality holds? The choice is simple. It is the following. Let x tilde be a normalized eigenvector of the same matrix A to the H by A corresponding to the maximum, say lambda sub 1. Let us assume that the maximum eigenvalue is the first. We can apply the same expansion we have seen before to the square of the norm, in this case, of a by x tilde. We find that following the same expansion, that this is this scalar product with x tilde instead x
use the fact that x tilde is an eigenvector for this matrix. So you find this is an inequality, and we have used the fact that x tilde is an eigenvector for this matrix. So we write lambda sub 1 by x tilde. X tilde VH by X tilde is the square of the 2 norm of X tilde, whose value is 1. So we have found exactly lambda sub 1. That is the square of, so that the proof is concluded. We have found that the equality in this inequality holds for all normalized vectors of the leading eigenvalue of this matrix. What can be added now? A first simple remark is the trivial consideration about the computation of inducing matrix norms. I mean, while in the case 1 and infinite are easy to compute, it is sufficient to compute n sums in both cases and to compute the maximum over those sums. The case it is more interesting for us of the two norm. In this case, the value of the two norm is found. To compute why? Because we have to make this product to compute the maximum eigenvalue of this matrix. So the computation is connected with an eigenvalue problem. Eigenvalue problems are difficult computation problems. We will treat them in the second part of the year. So this aspect lead us to consider also other possible choices of norms, not necessarily induced norms, which are simplest to be computed. One of these norms is the Frobenius norm. We give a simple definition now. It is a case of non-induced norm, a case of matrix norm easy to use, which is not induced by some vector norm. I am referring to the so-called Frobenius norm, denoted usually as
norm sub f of A,
and defined as the square root of the sum
of the squares of the moduli of the whole dimensions
of the matrix.
It resembles the two norm of a vector. Why
this is a norm?
It can be shown.
That
this definition, this formula defines a submultiplicative,
is a submultiplicative norm.
That is, it satisfies the four, all the four properties of the definition. But it can be also easily seen that this norm can be induced by any
is not induced. Why?
For this simple reason.
If the norm
which is under consideration is induced by a vector norm, if we consider this norm applied to the identity matrix, by definition, the value of the norm of the identity matrix is the maximum of these values. But since X is normalized, we have the maximum over a set which is which contains all values equal to 1. I by X is X, X as the norm 1, so here we have the maximum of all 1s. So, if a vector norm exists, which induces this norm, if we apply this norm to the identity, we must have 1 as a result. But if we consider the Frobenius norm of the identity matrix, we have the squares of the sum over all the entries of the identity matrix is n. Square root of n, which is, unless n is 1, different from 1. This is the reason why the Frobenius norm cannot be induced by any matrix norm, but it has some advantages. It is very simple to compute, especially if compared to the two norms. So this is a norm, matrix norm, frequently used in many applications. Just a brief list of properties of matrix norms.
in consideration of their use in future developments, you can find these properties listed. Some of them are also given with some details. We can say other matrix norm properties. For the identity matrix, we have just seen that if the norm is induced, the value must be 1. In general, we can only say that the value is larger than 1, because it's simple. This is obvious. The fourth property, some multiplicativity, we have this inequality. Simplified, you could have that the norm computed on the identity matrix must be larger than 1. A consequence of this is the fact that the norm of the inverse of a matrix, when the inverse exists, is not equal, but larger than the inverse of the norm of A. Another property, is the so-called compatibility this is a property enjoyed by inducing norms. If we require that the norm is induced for any X non-zero, let us consider the vectorial norm, the vector norm of A by X. We assume that the vector norm induces, as usual, the matrix norm. So here we are referring to a vector norm which induces the matrix norm for which we are given this property. Let us consider this product. Let us normalize the vector x. This is possible because it is non-zero. So we write here the norm of x, and we divide or multiply x by the reciprocal inverse of the norm. We have here, again, as in the proof we have seen before, a normalized y. So here we have norm of x, and here the inducer norm of A. This is less than the maximum of the vectors having norm 1 is the inducer norm of A. Well, we so find that we meet the vector norm of a product matrix by vector, we have again a kind of submultiplicativity. This is not exactly the same property required in the definition of the matrix norm, because we do not have two matrices. We have a matrix by a vector. But if the vector norm is the norm that induces the matrix norm, we find again an inequality of the same kind, the vector norm, the matrix norm. This is assured, as we have seen, for inducer norms. It can happen that this property hold also for non-inducer norm. It also it can be seen, it here, that compatibility holds for the Frobenius matrix norm and the two norms of vectors. So we can add as a new definition two norms vector and matrix, I mean, in this case, are saved compatible if this inequality holds here the V, because it is a vector norm, V to M, for all choices of A and X. There is anything more to say? Yes. A last property that the student from Pisa know is the link between inducer norms and spectral radius. If the matrix norm is induced, written this way, it is clear, induced by a vector norm V, then for all squares A, the spectral radius is bounded by the matrix norm. The proof is simple. If you consider an eigenvalue A, the lambda of A, corresponding to the spectral radius, so we have the modulus of lambda is equal to rho of A, and the equation for lambda and a corresponding eigenvector we assume that the vector norm of x is 1. If it is not so, we can normalize the eigenvector. We obtain another eigenvector with norm 1, so this is not a problem. Let us apply the vector norm to both sides of the equation. On the left, we have modulus of lambda by the norm of x, which is 1, so we have exactly the modulus lambda, which is the spectral radius of A, and on the left we apply the compatibility. Which holds for induced norms. We have induced norms, so we have automatically compatibility. So we can write this inequality. We have again here that the norm values, that the value of the norm is 1, and we have found this famous inequality. The spectral radius is less or equal than any induced norm. The result for completeness holds also when the assumption of being induced is replaced by some multiplicativity. So all of the norms which will be considered by us will be some multiplicative norm, so all norms which we will meet will satisfy this inequality. Another last remark, which has some interest. The spectral radius of a matrix can be characterized also as the inf of all the values of this set, the norms, all the norms computed with argument A, we will, can find the result sketched at the end of the section. Well, the set considered here is the set of induced matrix norms. This is a famous possible characterization of the spectral radius, which gives a light on the deep connection between norms and eigenvalues of a matrix. We can stop here. Domande, questions? We will continue Friday.